Chapter 12. Death was haunting Elm Street. As he parked in front of his house, Frank Hardy caught a glimpse of a little skull face peering at him from some low bushes. He took a step in that direction, and a short, robed figure burst onto the sidewalk, a trick-or-treat bag rattling as it ran. What was a little kid doing out at nearly 4 a.m, Frank wondered. But he had other things to worry about. The Hardy house gleamed like a beacon on the otherwise dark street. Every light was on. Frank had found that a welcome sight when he pulled up, thinking that Joe and his mother might be waiting for him. Then he noticed the door was ajar. After a quick search of the house, both upstairs and down, Frank realized he was very much alone.
"Where are you two?"
he said urgently. Judging by the hour, Frank was fairly certain neither Joe nor his mother was visiting friends. Frank took a deep breath, fighting his fatigue and concern, then went to check out the garage. It was the only place he hadn't looked. The garage was empty. He vaguely remembered that his mother had left the car at the airport for his dad and Aunt Gertrude. Frank stood in the middle of the garage, trying to make sense of the bizarre events of this night. "The attempts on our lives suggest a revenge plot," Frank reasoned. But by whom? He recalled the attack at the airport earlier, the cross-country chase by the Lazarus clones. Then came the vision he least wanted. He saw Callie, bound and gagged, her eyes wide above the scarf as he fought the net. The blade dropped. The blood. His screams. Frank squeezed his eyes shut. There seemed to be an empty space in his chest where his heart should be. The action of the chase and the distraction of flying had held this feeling of desolation at bay. Now he was feeling the loss of his love full force.
"Callie,"
he whispered. Then fury washed over him. He rammed a fist into a wall of the garage. Why? Why her? Not me! What were the assassins doing? These guys were pros, with resources most nations would envy. They wouldn't kill just for the fun of it. There had to be a reason behind every bizarre murder. Frank took a deep breath and slowly walked back into the house. Revenge was certainly a powerful emotion, he thought. It could be the motive behind all of this, but it couldn't explain everything he'd seen. The clone of the Gray Man seemed to indicate an attempt to infiltrate the network. But why make a double of Al Rasasa, a dead assassin? A chill ran through Frank. And why create another clone of the also-dead Iola Morton? Frank hurried back to the house, which he just did 2 paragraphs ago, worry eating at him. He'd seen how Joe had reacted to the phone call from Iola, hearing his dead girlfriend's voice, especially just after losing Vanessa. He froze in the doorway. Psy war. Psychological warfare. Someone was attacking Joe's mind. Both of their minds. And suddenly, Frank knew why.
"A trial," he whispered. "The United States versus an assassin named Boris. Or Brubaker. They want to stop our testimony."
Killing them wouldn't be enough. The Hardys had both given depositions and testified before the grand jury. Even if they were killed, their sworn statements could be used as evidence. But if they were discredited, shown to be acting irrationally... Frank wondered how his apparent antics that night would be described by the main sheriff or the highway patrol. What had they been doing to Joe? Just then, Frank spotted a crumpled sheet of paper on the floor by the front door. He wondered how he had missed it until he saw it was marked with his sneaker print. As he picked it up, he noticed the sticky stains on the paper. His eyes narrowed.
"Candy,"
he mused. Frank quickly glanced to the side of the door. His mother had gone out to buy trick-or-treat supplies, and she was always more than generous with the goodies. An overflowing bowl would be set up by the door, and there were always enough leftovers to keep Joe in candy for the next week. But there wasn't any candy in sight. That means she never came back from the store, Frank realized. Did Joe go looking for her? Unfolding the note, he read the mocking message that had sent Joe racing from the house. Keywords stabbed at Frank's brain, plaguing him with doubt and fear.
"The graves of private places."
The cemetery! Didn't the Mortons have a mausoleum there? Then Frank read the last line.
"Come to me, or else another will join me."
Frank raced from the house and jumped into Callie's car. The cemetery where Iola was buried had to be a 20-minute drive, normally. But at this late at night, Frank felt certain he could make it in 10. As he sped through the desolate streets, he couldn't help but worry. How long ago had the note arrived? Had Joe already gone to the cemetery, and had he fallen into some kind of trap? The question that worried Frank most was, who else had been taken? The note implied that someone else would die. Was it referring to Callie? Frank's hands tightened on the steering wheel. Where had the assassins taken their mother? Frank floored the gas pedal, and the houses and trees whipped past in a blur. He needed to find some answers before his imagination took him over the edge into madness. The Hardy van was easy to recognize as Frank parked at the cemetery gates. Frank left Callie's car, leapt over the stone wall, and proceeded down the gravel path. Now, where was the mausoleum? He remembered Iola pointing it out to them once. He remembered it was set close to a hill, near some pines. It was large enough that, even at night, it shouldn't be too hard to find. The wind picked up, blowing leaves through the air and whirling waves around Frank. He found his way by starlight. Suddenly, a chittering swarm of bats passed overhead. Frank glanced up nervously. He'd never seen so many bats before. A natural occurrence, he wondered, or some type of omen? Picking up his pace, Frank hurried on. He spotted the pine trees and saw the outline of the mausoleum. But as he reached the trees, Frank heard a horrible sound, like the howl of a tortured animal. He peered between two trees and gasped at the sight that confronted him. The little hollow at the base of the hill was filled with wispy mist glowing with phosphorescent lights as it twisted and curled into strange shapes. Standing in the middle, flailing and screaming in a frenzy, was Joe. As Frank watched, his brother sliced and smashed the mist with a large shovel as though he were fighting demons. His eyes were wild with panic.
Joe!
Frank rushed toward his brother. At first, Joe didn't seem to see him. Then he stopped, panting as Frank approached.
Take it easy, Joe. It's just me.
Joe's eyes were glassy and staring.
Whatever they did to you, we can fix it.
Frank said in a soothing voice.
You too.
Joe Hardy's voice was almost a whimper.
They got you too?
Who?
Frank asked.
Them!
Joe screamed, waving toward the enveloping mist around them. Then he rushed at Frank, his shovel held high.
They got you,
Joe bellowed.
But they won't get me!
He swung the shovel in a killing blow, aimed right at Frank's head. End of chapter.